Let's read from, it's two readings. Let's read from Psalms 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from the heat, from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warmed, and keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then will I be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And the New Testament reading is from Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 30. Jesus rejected at Nazareth. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." May God add his blessing to this reading. Oh, sorry. More verses. Cut it short. Sorry. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eye of everyone in the synagogue was fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Do hear in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.'" "I tell you the truth," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to widows in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there are many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha, the prophet. Yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up and drove him out of the town and took him to the brow of the hill in which the town was built in order to throw him down the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. May God add his blessing to this word. Thank you.
Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we know that you love us so much. We know that there is nothing that you would not do for us. And so we give you thanks that as our church, you have sent John to be our minister. thank you. Thank you for the giftings that he has. Thank you for the turnaround within our parish. And we thank you for blessing him with your spirit and your knowledge, your wisdom, and your thoughts. This morning we thank you for providing us with your word and your spirit, whom have testified to us your Son. We ask for the revelation of your mystery on how people coming from such different backgrounds can unite under one body in order to accomplish your will. Holy Spirit, we invite you in and ask that through John, you open our hearts to the truth of your scripture and bless us with wisdom and the strength to carry through the convictions that you have placed in our hearts. Thank you for your blessings on us. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen.
Good morning. It's good to be able to come again into the house of the Lord. It's always a thrill, a privilege to come to meet with God.
Amen.
And to be with his people. To know that God is here. To have that sense that God is working among us, drawing us, feeding us, nurturing us. God is so good to us. Begin with the scripture. And perhaps we could read this together. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. Amen. So on Tuesday evening, I much prefer summertime to wintertime. I much prefer when you go out in an evening and it's nice and light and bright. The sun is still shining, there's still warmth. But at this time of year, when you go out in an evening, you go out into the dark. And so we were coming here for a meeting, and Pat had arrived just before I did, and it was dark around the doorway, and so she got out her phone, and on her phone she has an app, and it's a little torch. And so she was able to, some of you will have this. It's quite handy if you're looking for some keys or you're not quite sure where you're at. You can turn this light on and you can you can see where you're going. The Bible says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And long before Apple or Samsung decided to put apps on their phones or their tablets, God was building apps into the Bible. And there are so many the Bible apps are already loaded there for you. You don't have to download them. Among the apps you will find, as I've mentioned, the light for the feet. If you need a mirror to see your soul, the Bible will do that. Honey for the hungry. A powerful hammer that can shatter things. A sharp sword that can hear. And when you start to think about the Bible apps, you might think of some verses that have something that speak to you of this. And if you can think of some other Bible apps, then let me know, because I would be interested to hear that. So today, we're taking a bit of a break from the big picture series that we're doing of the Bible. The big picture series, in 14 parts, is to try and help us see the Bible in this big overview, so that it gives us a structure, a foundation, to be able to understand it when we look at it more closely, when we're reading it ourselves, or perhaps reading it in our home groups, and we might remember how the different bits of the Bible fit together. But today we're thinking about how we apply the Bible, what applications we make of the Bible. And with all these apps that are in the Bible, the question comes up, how do we use it? Most of us would agree that the Bible is very important to our lives. And If we want to maintain a vibrant and thriving relationship with God, then we know we've got to look into the Bible. Many of us have Bibles that are precious to us. Perhaps one that was given to you by a special person in your life. Or maybe you have one at home that's really quite old and fragile now. Maybe it belonged to a grandparent. And from time to time you might look at that Bible and remember the faith that has come from generation to generation. Perhaps you've got a Bible that you just love to use, and it's all worn and you've got notes written in it and bits underlined, and it's very precious to you because it's spoken to you. Or perhaps because in a time when you were feeling low, you turned to it and you found the scriptures speaking to you, really to your heart, to the deep places of your soul, and you just knew the reality of it in a way that has made the Bible precious to you ever since. For many reasons, the Bible can be precious to us, especially when we read it and we hear the voice of the Good Shepherd speaking to us. And we know that the Word of God is more than the words on the page, but somehow or other the Spirit of God brings them to life for us, and it's as if we're hearing Jesus saying those words to us, for us. And it becomes so precious to us. Or perhaps you're new at Bible reading and you're wondering, how do I use this to full advantage? I feel a little bit torn in a sense. I love what I know of the Bible. Part of me wishes I could go back to when I didn't know, so that I could discover all those things afresh. Because when you start reading the Bible for the first time, you've got such wondrous things ahead of you. Again, as the Holy Spirit quickens something to your heart, and you might have thought, how did the Bible know? How did God know to say that to me in that way at that time? And it just becomes so real. And you see how the Bible starts to fit together, and it has such meaning for you. And when you feel that Jesus is speaking to you, you just be amazed at how it can speak to those different situations in your life. But having said that the Bible to us is precious, it's just amazing to know that perhaps most Christians haven't read it this week. So back in 2009, well, I suppose it might have changed since then. Back in 2009, the Bible Society undertook a comprehensive survey of Christians in New Zealand, and they found out that less than a quarter of Christians in New Zealand read their Bible each week. Now, I know that here that's the percentage is going to be much better than that, but let's just imagine for a moment that that's accurate of us. That means that all the people on this side haven't read the Bible this week, and half the people on that side haven't read the Bible. I just hope you're sitting in the quarter where people have read their Bibles this week. And the Bible Society looked at this and they discovered a number of things. One reason that people struggle to read the Bible is simply because it isn't in their routine. They don't think about it ahead of time. They would love to read the Bible, and when they do read the Bible, they enjoy it. But they actually haven't prepared themselves in advance a time when they will read the Bible. But and you shouldn't simply read the Bible out of habit, but you should be in the habit of reading the Bible. And in a sense, if you set aside a small portion of time each day, maybe even 5 minutes, you can read two or three paragraphs. You can think and you can pray, or you might want to put 10 minutes or a quarter of an hour. But if you build that into your day, you'll find it that you read the Bible much more regularly, that it's easier for you to do that. And I wonder, perhaps if you don't have that routine, if you were to think, when did I last actually pick the Bible up? When did I last actually read it myself? Maybe it's a few more days ago than you might have imagined or thought. So we need to have a routine. But perhaps the biggest obstacle to reading the Bible that the survey found was that it can be hard to understand. And we know this. Some bits of the Bible have long lists of names, and it just seems to, one or two names is okay, but then it starts to get a wee bit boring. all these names that we don't really know or understand. We can't put them into place. There are different tribes and different nations that we're unclear about. There are obscure kings fighting battles in unfamiliar places. And looking back over thousands of years, it's hard to put these things into context, hard to understand them. But this is to be expected. When you realize that we're talking about 66 books, some of it history, some of it poetry, some of it prophecy, some of it letters, and the writing of the Bible spanning thousands of years, it's understandable then that it's not going to be straightforward always to read it. And it might take some effort on our part to begin to understand it. That's part of the reason we're doing the big picture series, to try and give a context so that when we do come to read the Bible for ourselves, we can begin to see how it fits in and make more sense of it. So if you've missed some of the big picture series, they're on our website. Most of them are there you can listen to, one or two that weren't recorded, but you can read the messages from that and see how it fits into place. So we need to have that routine of reading it for ourselves, putting a bit of effort in, because it's really worthwhile to do that. But added to doing this by ourselves, we need to do it as a church. And as a church, we do this on Sunday mornings. We read together. As a church, we can also do it in home groups, smaller meetings of our church coming together. So if you're going to read it yourself, I use Scripture Union reading notes, Encounter with God, and that gives a framework, a Bible passage to read, and it gives some information, and it gives some encouragement to pray. And if you have word for today here in the church, and if you want a Bible reading plan, that's one that you can use. And then in home groups, we have sometimes Bible studies on particular books or Bible themes, or sometimes DVDs that bring Bible topics to us. So being a part of a home group is a good thing to do. And then coming together to church on a Sunday. And we follow the scriptures through in various themes, in various ways. And so I do want to encourage you, read the Bible yourself. Read the Bible as part of a home group. Read the Bible. Bring your Bible to church, so that when we're reading the Bible, you can look up the passage that we're reading, you can underline bits, or if you've got a bit of paper in there, you can make some notes, you can look at some of the passages that we mentioned, and you might look them up again later yourself, just see how they fit in. Being part of a home group is just so important in this. I've been a part of a home group since I was a teenager. There have been occasions when I haven't been part of a home group for a short period of time, because there are seasons in life and it doesn't always fit. But I want to encourage you to be a part of a home group. And as we have said, next week our home group is going to be taking the service. One of the things that I love about being part of a home group, you know, being a minister, you're always looking into the Bible, you're always helping people with things in this way. When I go to home group, my home group helps me. And we read passages, and a lot of the time I don't have to do anything to prepare. People have prepared it for me. And I can come along and be ministered to and be fed and hear the conversations that are going on. And it's just so good to have that. And so when we think of reading the Bible ourselves, in home groups or as a church, when we read the Bible, we see that clearly God's hand has been on the Bible. God has spoken to people. In the ancient oral tradition, they kept that alive. And when it came to writing things down, they started to write it into scrolls, and then from scrolls into parchments and into books. And things progressed. I was really interested in this, so I bought a lecture series called The Story of the Bible. I've listened to it several times. It tells in these 24 half-hour lectures how the Bible was put together. Now, I'm really interested in what's in the Bible. That's so wonderful, so good to know. But it's also really interesting to find out how it was passed down from generation to generation, the way it was copied, the significant publications of the Bible. and the story that's transmitted. And all of this was done with such care because people love that story. As you and I love that story, the Old Testament words of Scripture that come to mind that speak to our hearts, or the story of Jesus, a story that is like no other. And they cared for that, and they transmitted it from generation to generation so that we could have it and pass it on to other generations coming after us. When we think about the Bible, it's important to keep a few things in mind. We learn from how Jesus used the Scripture. And so even in his childhood, when he was age 12, and he went to the temple with his parents, some of us know that story, they had begun to go home, but Jesus had stayed in the temple. And you find him there talking with the scribes, with the teachers of the law, and he's interacting with them because he knows the Scriptures. He has read the Scriptures. He has taken the Scriptures to heart. And the people who he was talking with were absolutely amazed at what he was saying. And then we see in his temptation. And so we remember that Jesus had been fasting and praying. And having gone without food and without drink for this long period of time, he's in a vulnerable place. He's quite weak. And the tempter comes to try and put him off his course. And how does he deal with that? He brings out the Scriptures and he quotes them. And in doing this, Jesus is actually applying wisdom from the Old Testament, which asks this: how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. And then it goes on to say, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And this is just what Jesus had done. As a young person, he had hidden the word of God in his heart. And when the temptation came, he was able to lift the word of God out and to use it to keep him from falling. Now, when he read the Scriptures, he found all these Old Testament prophecies that related to his life. And so we see this as he was in Nazareth and at the synagogue. And we had this in our Bible reading today. And he opens up the scroll in Isaiah and it says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. Now, Jesus could read this in a way no one else could. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind. And Jesus was able to say this in a way, today it is fulfilled in your hearing. Now, we can't apply the Bible to our lives in the same way that Jesus did, because some Scriptures were directly about him. But there are other parts of the Scriptures that apply to us. And we can learn them and use them in a way that works out in our lives. And then Jesus, even in his death, how precious the Word of God is at a time of passing. And if you are with someone who is at that point in their lives, just ask, can I read a Scripture with you? You will find that it's so, so welcome to hear the Word of God. Something that had been precious to them. And perhaps in where they are, they can't pick up the Bible and read it themselves. But you can read it for them. The time of passing, how wonderful the words of Scripture are. This quote sounds a little odd when I say that. Because in Jesus' dying word on the cross, he was quoting Scripture. Which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? That doesn't sound very uplifting, but actually it's the opening words of Psalm 22, which is a psalm about a person who is struggling and looking in faith to God. And so when Jesus uses those words at the opening of the psalm, he has the whole psalm before him in his heart and his mind. And so from his childhood into his death, Jesus took the Scriptures to heart and used them to help find strength and to express hope and trust. And when we read the Bible, we can do the same thing in our lives. There are many things in the Scriptures that we learn that are helpful in this. And so the Scriptures say to us, all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, for rebuking. Maybe these are some more of the apps that are in the Bible, correcting and training in righteousness, so that the people of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Bible is God's word to us, communicated to us, so that our lives can be shaped If you want to know what God is like, read the Bible. If you want to know what God values, read the Bible. If you want to know what God requires of us, read the Bible. The Bible is the place to turn to. It can correct us. It can rebuke us. It can set us on the right path. In some ways, the Bible is like a good toolbox. If you want something, guys, in your man cave, this is something to have there, the Bible. It's a great toolbox. And out of that toolbox, you can bring many wonderful things that will help you and help your family and help you in your workplace. It's a toolbox that we can bring things out of. And the Bible does that for us. It also gives direction to our lives. I've mentioned that. The lamp to our feet, the light to our paths. Our lives, every day, the choices. What will we do? Where will we go? Sometimes we're uncertain of the direction. The Bible will guide us. Or for spiritual food that strengthens us. Jesus said, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And we understand the physical value of food is so necessary for us. But also spiritually, the Bible speaks to us, nurtures us, helps us to grow. Sometimes it's spoken of as honey, or as milk, or as meat that will nourish us. And the Bible also brings challenges to our lives. That word of God that's sharper than the two-edged sword that cuts between the marrow and the joint. And it can reach into the deep places of our hearts. It can cut out the things that shouldn't be there in our lives. Not a comfortable thing. The Bible tends to cut to the heart of the matter. And it's not simply ink on printed page, but rather it's active within our lives. It works within our lives. You read it, you take it in on your mind, and it'll start to change you and transform you as the Holy Spirit lives in you. Plays on our conscience, causes us to come face to face with aspects of our lives that we're not really happy with. It looks at our motives. It penetrates our hearts. Now, these are a quick overview because the Bible does so much more. But it's so important to us. Now, you probably have your own copy of the Bible. Maybe you've got more than one. And today I simply encourage you to take it out and read it. Just take it out and read it. The Bible invites us, like newborn babies, craves the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. You knew at some time I would just have to show you my granddaughter, Ada. Like newborn babies, crave the pure spiritual milk. Isn't it a lovely smile there? But she doesn't smile all the time. When she's craving the milk, she cries. She lets our daughter Jennifer know that she is hungry. When Ada is hungry at 3 o'clock in the morning, she doesn't think, oh, I'll just let Mum sleep a bit more. She just cries and cries because she craves the milk. She needs it to grow. And we're invited to be like that, always turning to God, always turning to the Scriptures. One of my favorite verses, this is a verse that has sustained me for so long. I think it's special to me because when I read it as an invitation from God to me. I know it's an invitation from God to us all. But for me, this is special. And God says to me, as he says to you, come. All you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come and buy and eat. Come and buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Listen. Listen to me and eat what is good. And your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Mm. God gives us the good stuff, the milk, the wine, the honey, all the good stuff we find in the Scriptures, providing spiritual nourishment for us, the richest of fare, the best for our souls. And so as a part of this, I want to encourage you to bring your Bible to church with you every week. Bring your own Bible so that you can open it up with the readings. And so that you can put a mark in the place and go back to where we have been reading from. Or to write a question. What is this really saying to me? So you can reflect on it later on. But bring your Bible with you so that you're reading from it, familiar with it, know where to look in it. Our church has a mission to help people know and follow Jesus. That's our mission. That's what we dedicate ourselves to. That's what we give our time to help people know and follow Jesus. You know, the best way, one of the best ways to do that? Read a Bible. That's how you know God. You'll find him in the Bible. You want to follow Jesus? Read the Bible. It'll tell you how to follow him. You want to know the story of Jesus? Turn to the Bible. You want to know how the early church lived? Turn to the Bible. We read the Bible in all our services and we expect God to speak to us. So we encourage you, read the Bible at home. Read it in your home group. Read it here at church. Maybe even memorize some verses so that you can bring them out of your heart when you need them. Well, it sort of occurs to me, and I think, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could blow that Bible reading survey out of the water? And next week, not just a quarter of us having read the Bible during the week, but what if a half of us, or 75%, or maybe 100% of us had read the Bible during the week? Imagine the difference it would make to our spiritual health as individuals, as we go to our work, as we spend time with our friends, in the midst of our families, and in our life as a church. Imagine how that would transform us. The spiritual that would be gained, the spiritual strength that we would find given to us, the temptations that we are able to overcome, the spiritual direction that we find, the nourishment that becomes ours, and the inspiration that could be ours if we were to read the Bible as we go through the week. Well, I say, let's be that people. Let's be that church. And all of this to the glory of God, Father and Son and Holy Spirit. Let's take a moment to pray. Oh Lord, bring your word to life to us and in us and through us. Bring your word to life in this day, in this week ahead. Oh Lord, open your word to us as we open the word and read it. Speak to us deeply. Touch and change us. This we ask in your precious name. Amen. Amen.